Are you the do-it-yourselfer type? You like working around the house and making home improvements without cost and hassle of bringing in contractors? Doesn't necessarily translate to a do-it-yourself approach for divorce, but it might be a good start. Today's guest is family law attorney Carrie Doxey, and Carrie is a DIY divorce expert. And so we're going to sit down today and talk about who's a good candidate, who's not, and how exactly the whole DIY divorce process works. So if you're considering saving the time and hassle of hiring attorneys for your divorce, stay tuned.
Welcome to the Starting Over Stronger Show, where you'll find help and hope for your divorce survival and recovery. Divorce well, live well.
Hello, and welcome back to the Starting Over Stronger Divorce Survival and Recovery Show. Today, we are going to be talking about DIY divorce. Have you heard of it? Do-it-yourselfers, you may take interest in something like this. It seems like a great way to save some money and maybe some hassle. And so today I have invited a family law attorney, Carrie Sue Doxey, on the show. And she is the expert on DIY divorce in my mind. So we're going to just talk about everything there is to talk about it so you can decide if it would be a good fit for you or not. And so welcome to the show, Carrie. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's nice to be here. Thanks, Annie.
Yeah. And so if you would just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I'm a practicing attorney in Kansas City, Missouri, mostly family law. And one of the things that's become a passion for me is helping people that really just don't have the money to hire an attorney. So that's kind of how the DIY divorce has come about. We have so many cases in our jurisdiction of people that are trying to do it themselves and aren't quite doing it correctly. And so the judge is always giving them another invitation to come back and try again. And so the idea is just to try to provide some free resources out there for people who have that super simple, easy, uncontested divorce. Just to help them walk through the process so they don't spend thousands of dollars on an attorney when they don't need to.
Very good. Well, you know, as with anything, I think a quick Google search online could show you a lot about DIY divorce. And I suppose, as with most things, that could be good or it could be bad. Where would you say is the best and or worst place to get direction if you are considering a DIY divorce and you want to go out to the internet and explore it?
Well, I think most states, they actually have free forms out there. Sometimes you can find them on your county court website, but most of the states have provided a website. So for instance, I'm in Missouri and we have a website that's for pro se litigant. It's a fancy schmancy way of saying a DIY person, right? And so you can get those forms out there and that's about all they tell you. So that's kind of, I think the hard part is that you might be able to find some free forms, but there's just absolutely nothing that helps you walk through the process because courts are kind of fickle people. Sometimes they want things stapled and sometimes they want extra copies. And I mean, there's so many different things that are above and beyond the things, Annie, that you deal with your clients, like how do you separate the cell phones and how do you, you know, there's just so many different things in a divorce that just a few simple things off the internet are not really going to tell them.
True. That's a great point. Yeah. So I know that you have a website. I've been on it before. Tell us about that.
Well, what my website is going to help people do is that one, it introduces any of the concepts. So for instance, if you owned a house before you got married, what happens? How do you deal with that? If you have children, unfortunately, real estate and children equals no DIY for you. You will have to get an attorney to do a little bit of your case.
Okay.
So we call that, in our legal world, we call that limited scope. So it's kind of like going to McDonald's, and instead of ordering the whole value meal, you're just ordering the quarter pounder with cheese. So you're only paying for the things that you need. So it really helps you know, okay, how much of this can I do on my own? What does the attorney need to do? Do I qualify? It'll help you walk through all of those questions, because most people have that simple divorce. They really don't need an attorney to do the whole thing. They just maybe have that one little piece of that puzzle. What I find is quite interesting in the court, I'll be sitting in court and watching people that are trying to do this on their own, and they're getting up on the stand and the judge looks at them and they don't know what to do. Like, the judge expects that they kind of know what they're supposed to do, but they don't have any clue. So, you know, Annie, I just feel so bad for them, because their faces get red and they get all hot and they, you can just tell they're freaking out. They absolutely don't know what to do. So, you know, having something that's going to help you walk through all of the steps, make sure you did it correctly, because a lot of people don't fill out the paperwork correct. And so you just sit up there in front of the judge and the judge tells you everything you did wrong and to come back again. So I think that is also another reason why I wanted to help people here in Missouri, is because it's kind of painful to watch.
I bet. You want to help them.
It's just not very much fun. And I'm sure your people, your clients absolutely don't want to experience that, for sure.
Oh, no.
Divorce is hard enough.
Yeah.
Hard enough, right?
Right, right. And you don't want to delay it any more than necessary. So to not have something that you very easily could have had if you only knew you needed it is probably very painful for everybody.
Absolutely. And it's just, it's not rocket science if you have just a little tiny help, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the important thing, that just knowing how to fill those things out. It tells you to list all your property, but it doesn't tell you, you know, do I have to list every spoon and fork? Do I, you know, because most people will just list a few things and the court has to make a decision about whether the division's fair. And they can't do that if you have not, you know, given them enough information. So, you know, you can just, like, a great example is, you know, what are the categories? Like, you know, you just need to say, hey, I have clothing, I have jewelry, I have furniture, I have electronics, I have tools, I have miscellaneous kitchen, I have large appliances, like whatever that is. It's not that hard, but you just need to let the court know what you actually own, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Because because if there is something you don't list, then technically it's not divided.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not hard. And I think, Annie, like, you obviously go through all of these things with your clients, trying to decide, you know, what is the stuff that they need to keep and to be able to move forward with their lives. And what are things that maybe it's just better to let go of, right? We just walk away and start clean.
Yeah, right. Well, and you know, you make a good point. And I think that what's at the heart of that is what's at the heart of why a divorce coach can be so valuable during divorce. It's because you're just not thinking clearly. It's such an emotional time and you're just flooded usually and just, you know, not processing things like you would normally because of that emotion level. And so, you know, the things that you maybe would think of otherwise are just slipping your mind. And in fact, I have a guide that I have that's a PDF I send to my clients or anybody that asks for it, really, called the Nest Guide, which is a preparation guide for divorce. And it's like a 3-page document that lists everything that you need to think of. And I add to it occasionally when I come up with something else that I haven't thought of, but it's just a pretty comprehensive list of all the things that you need to think about that you may or may not be. So it's important to have something like that, because it is a hard process. And then again, like you said, it's really not. I mean, the actual process of dissolving a marriage isn't really that complicated. It's just that there's so many details.
Correct. And I think, you know, you really hit it on the head. Like, I was divorced back in 2004 and I was a mess. And I think sometimes, you know, for me, my husband had cheated on me and I just was a mess. And I had two little children. And so there's so much to do. And anytime you have a lot on your plate, it's really, really easy to just miss little things. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, your resources are so helpful, because you really can't miss anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's just so many little tiny details and things to keep track of and trying to get things done. And, you know, you're looking at what your immediate needs are and what your needs are for the future. And sometimes you only can look at, you know, what do I need right this minute? And sometimes that is what I find with my law office legal clients, is that a lot of times people just, they just want so desperately to be done that they don't care. Mm-hmm. And they look back and they regret some of the decisions that they made.
Oh, yeah.
So you would be really helpful. And like, that's what I do in my practice, is go, okay, it's my job to kind of be the bad guy a little bit. I'll do whatever you want, but I want to make sure that you 100% understand what you're giving up. And mm-hmm. if you're good with that, then I'm fine with it. But I really want you to think about it, because being done is great, but living on a budget is not easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, when we think about DIY divorce, it seems like one of those things that just inherently could be a great idea for some people and a really bad idea for others. What would you say about who's a good candidate for it?
Well, again, if you guys are working together and there's no real conflict, there are a lot of ways that you can do DIY, and you just can, like I said, you can get a little bit of extra help. So for instance, if you have real estate, like, that's definitely something that I know that you're coaching your people on. And there's a lot more to it than just saying, hey, we're going to sell the house and split it 50-50. Well, the court doesn't really let you do that. You know, that's a really good example where, you know, you may need a little bit of legal advice with that. If we're just setting, everybody keeps their own stuff, DIY works great. Mm-hmm. So crazy enough, here in Kansas City, we have a really big company called Cerner. Mm-hmm. And those Cerner people are out there DIYing their divorce like crazy, because everybody has enough money to go around. Everybody just keeps their own stuff. So if there is no conflict, most of the time you can work those things out. Even if you have children, like, a lot of times people just, they know exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. And they can go in there and they don't need a complicated parenting plan. All they need is the attorney to just do their judgment.
Yeah.
So they absolutely can DIY. So it's really more about, are you guys on the same page? Or maybe your spouse is just gone. You know, because you've probably seen that too, where mm-hmm. You've been separated a really long time and they're not going to participate.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect fit as well for DIY.
Yeah.
Don't be one of those. I have clients all the time that just didn't get divorced for 4 years, 5 years, 10 years.
Wow.
And because they just didn't have enough money to hire an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I don't want you to have to do. I want you to be able to go live your life.
Yeah.
And we don't need you to stay married because you don't have several thousand for an attorney, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a perfect fit. What if they think they're going to be able to do that and they get into it and then they realize there's points of contention or conflict that they can't resolve on their own? What happens then?
Well, certainly there's two levels to that. Okay. So there are things that maybe you can't figure out, because the truth is you don't need the tools. So, like, Annie, I know that you have lots of ideas that you can help people, like, resolve things, but they just didn't know about those options. And the same can be true with mediation. That's a really good resource for a lot of people. So a mediator is an attorney or a counselor who's been trained to sit down with people going through a divorce, and they can help them walk through those problems. So yeah. There could be some creative solutions to some of the issues that people might face. They just don't have the experience to know about that because, hey, this is their first divorce. They don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's really good help. Like, your coaching, I'm sure, also would be a really good resource. sometimes people just need to have some other ideas. But at the end of the day, if it's going to be a trial situation, you're probably going to have to get an attorney.
Yeah.
You don't want to go in there with your spouse having an attorney and you have not.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have anybody in your corner. And at least the good thing about some of the DIY concept is you can at least use some of those forms and at least have things on file that protect you. So what that means is if you don't file an answer, you know, if your spouse has filed the case and you don't file an answer, then they basically can march into court and get whatever they want. And you can't even open your mouth. So you have to protect yourself and you have to file an answer with the court. And you can use one of those DIY forms to do that. But at the same time, you're going to be in trial against an attorney. And yeah, you probably want, if at all possible, you want to get an attorney.
Today's episode is brought to you by Kay Blonde Holistic Life and Business Coaching. Life just looks better with a coach. This is something I often discuss with potential divorce coaching clients who want a better divorce experience. For those of you who own your own business, you may already know the importance of a business coach. If not, I recommend a conversation with Coach Kay Blonde. As my business coach, I can highly recommend her as someone who will help you to get your business off the ground or on track for success. With her holistic approach to life and business, your coaching sessions will be designed by you with a goal of bringing you greater awareness, clarity, and focus. You'll develop the skills to empower yourself with a positive mindset, along with connecting and trusting your intuition. You'll experience a higher level of energy, motivation, and fulfillment in all aspects of your life, your personal relationships and business, but also your finances, health, your schedule, fun, and spirituality. If you want to change your life and business, you can. Hire a divorce coach for your divorce and a life and business coach for your life and business. Call Kay Blonde at 816-803-1718 or find out more about Kay at kayblonde.com. KAYBLOND.com. Please tell her you heard about her on Starting Over Stronger.
Yeah, that actually kind of leads right into what was going to be my next question, which is what if the two don't agree? And there's really two questions here. One, what if they don't agree on the concept of DIY? And then two, what if they don't even agree on the divorce and one is just ignoring everything that the other is doing?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, when you're in those situations, you're going to have to get an attorney. And I think what's really hard in our society is an attorney has to, they earn their money by the time that they spend on your case, right? Mm-hmm. So it is really, really difficult for a lot of people. There aren't organizations really out there to help people that don't have any money. Now, there is legal aid, but the problem with legal aid, and this is nationwide, they don't have the money to help everyone. The only divorce cases that they normally handle is if there is just a tremendous amount of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. So outside of that, you're really just kind of left on your own. You just don't have a choice but to get an attorney. And I think that's kind of the hard part about a lot of divorces, because often one of the parties has a lot more money than the other. Maybe that person was a stay-at-home spouse, and it's not always women anymore. There's a lot of stay-at-home husbands out there too, taking care of their kids. So if you have those kind of things, the hard part is really finding an attorney who's maybe willing to take their fee at the end of the case, because that's not, that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's, you brought up a good point. Domestic violence is a big factor in divorce. I just actually ran the numbers recently, and 60% of my divorce coaching clients right now have a protective order. So it's common. How does that factor into DIY?
Well, I think what is interesting about the order protection world is, and this is something that you kind of need to understand a little bit about your particular jurisdiction where you're in. So the reason I say that is that these are two separate courts, basically. You have civil court that takes care of all of those order of protection cases. And then you have the family law court that takes care of the divorce. And sometimes if there's any abuse against a child, then the juvenile court will take care of those cases. So the problem is which judge and which order is the most important. So like which one is the highest on the totem pole, right? So for instance, in my county recently, within about the last 2 years, they pretty much aren't doing a lot in the domestic violence world if you already have a divorce filed, which seems kind of crazy to me, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole thing is you want to make sure that that person is protected. And they will do that, but it just what you can get accomplished sometimes is not always the same from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. So that's something I think your listener would have to know a little bit more about their particular jurisdiction to know what's going on. But the truth is, sometimes that domestic order will say, they're always going to say who gets possession of the residence, right? So that is always going to happen. Sometimes they will say who has to pay certain bills. Sometimes in that you can say what the parenting schedule is going to be for right now. And sometimes you can even say what the child support is going to be. So that order of protection world can do a lot of things. It just normally doesn't. So again, you can hire an attorney just to do the order of protection, which is way, way less expensive. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if you could get on that, that might really fix some of the issues and the problems on the divorce side, because there's already an existing order that's going to take precedence. And so mm-hmm. that person isn't going to fight over anything, you know. So that can be a preemptive way to like lower your attorney fees for sure.
Okay, good to know. Well, domestic violence aside, is there any in between, like between divorce, DIY divorce, and hiring an attorney? Like, what if they want to fill out all the papers and negotiate everything on their own? And then could they bring it to an attorney to look it over?
That's where the attorneys just aren't going to say, sure, I'll be happy to look over your stuff. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. Most attorneys do free consultations. They just do, but they're not going to tell you whether you filled out everything correctly. Again, mm-hmm. that's kind of why you need something in the middle. That's why I created my course, because you really need to have that help. I think most people want that. An attorney's just not going to make any money off of that. So they're not going to do that. Yeah. So part of my course too is really being able to get on I do a monthly Zoom call where people can ask questions, see if they really have everything filled out. If there's anything that they, you know, just didn't make sense to them, something like that, we can fix those problems. Mm-hmm. Certainly if they run into some issues that they didn't expect, mm-hmm. you know, we can kind of help walk them through that. So I think what sometimes will come up is that, you know, maybe they can't find their spouse, they're having problems with service. So there's definitely some things that they can do without having to totally go hire an attorney. So I help them with that.
Yeah. So your course or your Zoom calls or all of that, I assume, can be found on your website, which was it DIYDivorceMissouri.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And so now, does somebody have to be in Missouri to get a benefit from that?
At this point, it's really geared towards Missouri. You know, honestly, I do feel like all of the concepts of divorce are in there. Mm-hmm. I think for anybody, it would be super helpful. I am trying to create kind of a separate course mm-hmm. that is going to be more about understanding the concepts and making better decisions, whether that's in conjunction of using your attorney or just trying to do that yourself. Mm-hmm. But for right now, we're just kind of geared towards Missouri, because I want them to see, here's the form, and I specifically show you how to fill that out.
Oh, okay.
These are the things that you want to do. These are the things that you need, because they're just a little confusing. So it does kind of help to actually see them and make sure you don't make mistakes on those. So at the moment, we're just kind of geared towards helping people in Missouri. Mm-hmm. And once we you know, feel like that is really dialed in, I'll kind of extend that out.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, so I want to just kind of run step by step through kind of like this, the, you know, process for that person who maybe isn't in Missouri. And this would be something a little bit more general, just from my own, you know, very rudimentary research online. It just shows that you just are going to be picking up some papers. There's probably going to be rules that you have to follow with regard to that. And and then number two, you're going to file those papers. Number three, you're going to pay the fees. Number four, you're going to serve those papers. Number five, you're going to file proof of service. And number six, you're going to allow time for a response, which is generally, it says around 21 days. And then the court is going to set hearings and may actually even require mediation. And then lastly, after the divorce is granted, you're going to prepare and file a decree. Does that sound about right? Do you think I missed anything major?
Nope, you're in pretty good shape. There's a couple of things I think that are important to know. Like, so for instance, when you're just talking about filing it and paying your fees, like one super helpful tip, I think, for people is to call the court clerk before you go. It's just like going to the DMV. You want to make sure that you have everything that you need.
Yeah.
There are times when a particular jurisdiction, you know, the county or wherever you live, they may have another form they want you to file. So for instance, in Kansas City, our main, we have three main counties here. We have Jackson, Clay, and Platt. And honestly, they all have one little form that's different. Okay. So it's helpful to kind of call, make sure that you have everything. And then they'll also tell you how you can pay. A lot of courts now won't accept cash. So that's kind of a good thing to know. So you may want to double check that. Some of them will allow you to use a credit card. Some just are still doing checks. It depends on how big your county is. Mm-hmm. So just those little things, call the clerk, double check. They will absolutely help you because they want you to be able to walk in and get it done quickly. Okay. So that's super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then on service, most of the time, that's going to be done by the sheriff, and the sheriff actually will file the return of service for you.
Oh, okay.
If you have someone that has a job where maybe they're not sitting at their desk all day long, you may want to get a special process server because sometimes it's just hard for the sheriff to catch your spouse at home on the weekend.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So there are like some little things like that that you can probably get some help on. Sometimes the when you talk to the county clerk, sometimes they can help with that as well. Because
do they
that's
have any ability to like kind of schedule it or for you to give any kind of information about when is most likely to be able to?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll get some information from you and they'll normally find out like, you know, what their normal work hours are. But what really is helpful, I think, again, another helpful tip is go in with a list of all of that information that you can give them that's all typed out, ready to go. Anything that you can do to make the clerk's life easier, you want to do. And certainly, again, you want to give yourself the best chance for the sheriff to get it the first time around, because if they don't, then there's all these other technical things that you have to file. So the more information you provide on the front end, the better.
Yeah. And probably another service fee if they have to go out again, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you know, while we're on the subject, you mentioned work and home. This is kind of an opinion thing, but I'm wondering where you stand on this. I always advise my clients to try to do it at home if that's the least inconspicuous place. What are your thoughts on that?
From my attorney hat, I'll just tell you, it's just about getting it done. I don't know that people are, yes, is it embarrassing for someone to be served at work? Yes, it is. That's true. But at the same time, it really depends on your relationship, because sometimes people just need a moment to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing papers are coming and getting them in your hand are two very different things.
Yes.
And it's the same thing for the person filing the divorce. Like when you come in to sign all your paperwork, you know, you can just tell it's a lot for somebody, right?
Yeah,
and so, you know, if you're going to be home and all of that, it just sometimes it works okay if you guys are getting along and everybody's on the same page that, yeah, everybody wants to get divorced, then you're probably fine. If it's going to be a surprise, I would serve them at work.
Yeah. Well, and you might as well, you know, if you're already doing a DIY divorce, then you have some level of ability to communicate with your spouse. So I would think this would be a conversation that you would have in advance to say, right, you know, where do you want to receive it? You know,
right. Well, one thing that you'll find, like, especially in Missouri, the paperwork that's online almost makes it seem like you have to have your spouse file all the paperwork with you. And that is not true. So I haven't looked at a lot of other states, but you don't have to have that happen. But so many people, they don't even have to have service. If they really and truly are doing it together, filing everything together, then, and both of you don't have to go down and actually file the paperwork. But if everybody's filling things out and signing off on it and turning it in, you don't even have to have service. So there are ways to waive that. And filing an answer at the same time as you file your divorce is one of those ways.
Okay. Well, yeah. And that brings me to my next point, which was I have a list of six basic forms that will be included. And this may not be an exhaustive list, but it includes the dissolution of marriage petition, the response to petition, the child support worksheet, the parenting plan, the proof of service, and then the consent or default decree. Anything that you see left out there?
Certainly. And again, in Missouri, you do have a couple of other things that you have to have. So the court has a form that is kind of statistical and everything. And so it's called a filing information sheet. So it has all of the contact information for the parties and the names of the children, social security numbers, dates of birth, things like that. There's also a certificate of dissolution that is a form that actually gets turned into the state so that they can register the fact that you are divorced, right? Just like you had a marriage certificate, you have a dissolution certificate, so to speak. So you definitely do have to have those as well. And like I said, some of these courts will have a little extra something, and it normally has to do with the kids.
Okay. Other potential factors that were listed, I'm curious, I didn't get a lot of information on these, but just if there's anything that a person would need to know, how would residency be affected, or how would it affect the process?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So every court, every state requires somebody to live there for a certain period of time. So in Missouri, someone has to have lived here for the last 90 days, right?
Okay.
So in fact, I had somebody call the other day and they've only lived here 3 weeks. I'm like, nope, that doesn't work. So that's for the parties, but children need to live in the state for 6 months in order for the court to retain jurisdiction in most states. Now, there's a couple that don't do that, like Louisiana and someone else. I can't think. But most states are under United States Children's Jurisdictional Act, and that requires 6 months before a state has jurisdiction. So there are certain amount of time that you have to live there. But again, it'll vary, I think, for people. So even if you don't live in the state and your spouse files and it lives in the state, you could still file in that state. So let me give a really good example. Here in Kansas City, we have Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri. So very close over the border. So sometimes we have people that are living in Kansas, and the reason they file in Missouri is because their spouses has a house here. So they have real estate in Missouri, not real estate in Kansas. So it just kind of is easier to file in Missouri. Or it could be that you live in Kansas and the children live with your spouse in Missouri. And so you would have to file where the children live. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where those things come in. And that's super important, obviously, because you want to file in the right court. Certainly, you have sometimes that neither one of those are at play. We don't have a house. we don't have kids. Somebody files in Kansas and somebody files in Missouri. And it's usually whoever serves their spouse first.
Yeah.
And that's where the court will hear the case, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. How would fault or no fault factor into a DIY divorce?
Well, for the most part, you're not going to have any issue about fault. You can if you think the spouse is not going to participate. But for the most part, you aren't going to have too many of those kind of issues, I would guess. I'm sure there are times when you might, but it's all about the division of assets. If your spouse doesn't really file anything, as long as what you're proposing is fair, the court's going to grant that. Now, I have seen lately that some of the judges on these DIYs are a little fussy about that. If it looks like you're taking all of the property, real estate, your retirement account, and you're really not leaving anything to your spouse, you might have some issues and problems. But that's, again, where sometimes if you just have this little tip, so a good example is your retirement account. If you worked for that employer before you got married, right, and you worked for that employer after you got married, part of that is marital property and part of it's non-marital property. So if you help the court understand that, hey, I've only been married for 3 years, that's why all my retirement should go to me, then the court understands and agrees, hey, that's probably fair.
Yeah.
So those are just those little tiny things that can be roadblocks, but don't need to be.
Yeah.
Are there times in your life, relationships, work, or anywhere that you feel stuck? As if the universe is playing a joke on you that everyone else is in on but you? As if you can't seem to understand why you want that thing so badly, yet for whatever reason, you just can't have it. I'm here to help. I'm Mandy Marie, founder of Alchemy by Mandy Marie, and it's my mission to help you uncover, unfold, and undo anything and everything that is keeping you from living life for your highest good and the highest good of everyone around you. My work in rapid transformational therapy combines the best practices in cognitive behavioral therapy, neurolinguistic programming, classical hypnosis, and psychotherapy to powerfully and permanently transform your life. I combine RTT with an amazing package of energetic body work and deeply held spiritual practices in the Akashic Record to align your personal energy and alchemize your life. Book a discovery session today to learn more at alchemybymandymarie.com. I wish life to empower you, love to embody you, lineage to support you, and legacy to strengthen you.
And what about if somebody is wanting to submit a detailed complaint of some sort? Is that going to be considered?
Well, at the end of the day, even an attorney is probably going to file a petition that says basically nothing in it. Mm-hmm. It's just the jurisdictional legal mumbo jumbo that is required. So yes, can you do that? But you really don't need to. Most of that's going to come through your testimony at the hearing, not necessarily in your complaint. Now, certainly there's some exceptions. If there's issues about child custody, that would be a really good example. If you are asking, like you were talking about, you have a lot of domestic violence clients. So if you are asking for a lot of the medical bills to be set aside to the spouse, and that's why, because they were all bills that were incurred from the abuse of the marriage, then that definitely makes sense. You don't have to necessarily do that in the petition. You can just do that as part of your testimony.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I know that the average U.S. divorce costs somewhere between 12 and 15K, depending on who you ask. What would you say the average DIY divorce might be more like?
Well, most of the time, you're 100% going to be under $1,000. And that's only if you have to have an attorney do some things for you. So here's kind of a rough idea. Our market here in our area is probably between about $400 and $750 if an attorney has to do some of the judgments and maybe a more detailed parenting plan and Form 14 child support calculation if you didn't really do that. in your DIY. So I think from that perspective, cost-wise, that's about where you're going to run. Certainly for me, my course, probably the smallest amount is $267. And it does go up a little bit depending upon what you need. So if you need some specialized things on real estate, up to I need real estate and children, like we can do that. So I have kind of a varying degree depending upon what you really need. So again, even with all of that all in, there's no reason that you can't get, get that done for under $1,000 and sometimes under $500.
Okay.
So again, like when you don't have a lot to fight over, $500 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
True. You know what I mean? And you shouldn't have to pay $4,000 or $5,000 to an attorney. And sometimes you don't have to. I mean, certainly there are things called flat fees, and that's where an attorney just says, hey, I'm going to charge you one price to do the whole thing. So if you're nervous about the whole DIY process, hey, you can go in and you can hire an attorney for a smaller amount of money, knowing that it's going to be uncontested, and they just do it all for you. Mm-hmm. So you always do have that option because it's not contested. You just want to have somebody do it because you don't want the hassle. Yeah. So, you know, there are certainly those kind of options for you. There's always the option, if you aren't exactly on the same page, of trying mediation first. Mm-hmm. And that's another good way to try to keep down your fees. Because if you're coming into my office and you tell me that you have an agreement, now I can charge a flat fee. If you're telling me that you're not 100% in agreement, now maybe I need to have you pay hourly. So sometimes using that mediation, which is also an inexpensive way to kind of finalize your agreement, you can do that at any stage before or after you file.
Okay. And what might that run?
Usually you're probably somewhere in from 150 to 350 per person.
Okay.
And that's usually kind of for a 2-hour session.
Okay.
So that's usually kind of the range that you can expect to pay for something like that. And, you know, you can always come back for an additional session if you need it. And then they usually just base it on the amount of time that you need.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it seems like kind of a no-brainer. Why wouldn't people want to do this? They can save $12,000 to $15,000. But who maybe is not a good candidate and really should not go this direction?
Yeah, you really aren't going to be able to do that if you have a spouse that is not interested in being fair.
Okay.
It's one thing when you guys can't get on the same page, because to be super honest, most divorcing people have different needs. Somebody's probably staying in the house. Mm-hmm. Somebody is moving out. And so, you know, what they need are completely different. The person that's moving out probably needs, you know, cash. They need funds that they have access to that they can use right away. Whereas the person staying in the house maybe really wants to hold on to their retirement accounts. Mm-hmm. So, if you really are not on the same page, DIY is not the way to go. And honestly, you're not going to save any money at all by trying to do a portion of it and then having your attorney come back later in the case and try to help you out. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So that's definitely not the right fit. If you have, you know, any kind of conflict, if you are not on the same page, you really need an attorney. And the good news about that, like I want to give your listeners some hope, that the good news to that is if you really have a good attorney, they can shorten this process for you most of the time. Now, not always, because we can't control the other party. But most of the time, if you have someone who comes in and is just like, that's my retirement account, she shouldn't get any of it. Well, that's not the way the law works. And once they start having somebody really pound that into their head, that that's not what the judge is going to do, then you should be able to get in there and settle the case. So don't lose hope just because your spouse is being difficult. It doesn't mean it's going to be horrible all the way through.
Right.
Yeah,
you're right. It definitely shifts sometimes at some point where it seems impossible in the beginning. And then somebody finally comes around to the reality of the situation and things smooth out a little bit from there on.
Yeah, they just get, or somebody gets tired.
Yeah.
Or tired of paying their attorney. So,
that
so that's okay. It's all good, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, and I would say, you know, with regard to who's not a great candidate, I expect it centers usually around the top four issues, which are custody, asset and debt division, support, and then the house, you know, and I expect it in most cases, one of those reasons, if not more than one, are the reason why DIY divorce doesn't work or just isn't a good option.
Right. Well, you know, it depends. So let's just say it's child support. Well, you know, I'm not so sure that makes you not a good fit for DIY, because anywhere there is a formula and the courts have a certain way they're going to do something.
Right.
So again, you can 100% go the DIY direction. And so like a good example is in Missouri, we have March mediation, M-A-R-C-H, just like you're marching. And they do a mediation on a sliding scale or potentially for free, depending upon the assets of the parties. So your mediator is basically just going to tell this person, hey, this is really what the court's going to do. They will run the Form 14 child support calculation for you. Mm-hmm. So if you think that you have somebody who just doesn't want to pay any child support, I wouldn't let that totally keep you out of the DIY loop. Because again, I think once people understand what the judge is going to do, they're going to pretty much say, okay, you know, they're not going to like it, but yeah, they're not going to fight over it.
Right. And to be more specific, I said support, but I was referring to both child and spousal support. So
Spousal support. Yeah. Spousal support, you pretty much, if you want spousal support, DIY is not, it's not going to happen. Now, unless your spouse is willing to pay.
Right.
And honestly, the best chance to get an agreement on spousal support is right at the beginning of the case. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's when maybe hitting up mediation before you even file or right at the very beginning, then you might be able to use that option, because that's what I find is that a lot of times if a spouse really knows they're going to have to pay something, they just really don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. They're willing to be reasonable. They just need help, and you need help knowing, you know, what's likely for you to be able to receive. So hit up that mediation option and then, you know, DIY once you guys have an agreement.
Yeah.
So you can see, like Missouri does have a marital settlement agreement form too, mm-hmm. Okay. A DIY form. So you absolutely can do that. But also sometimes your mediator will draft that for you for an additional charge. Mm-hmm. So that's an option as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So really it kind of comes down to DIY divorce is more or less the best option if you two are pretty decisive and in agreement on everything. Whereas if there's any indecision or conflict about major issues, it's probably not going to work as well.
That's absolutely true. Okay. For sure. Again, like I find a lot in my mediation practice is that it's not always that the parties are at odds, but sometimes it's just, again, they need a little help coming up with a solution. Yeah. Because anymore, you have so many people working these weird hours. Mm-hmm. And they did that on purpose because they couldn't afford childcare.
Yeah.
So how do you do parenting time with that? So like, that's a really good example where you have a lot of parents that are willing to work together, but they just need that little bit of help to figure out what that looks like. But again, if you have that super simple, easy, that DIY is perfect. If you're everybody's on the same page, you don't have anything that's weird. Yeah, mm-hmm. 100%. That DIY is perfect for you. And there's no reason for you to go out there and spend a bunch of money, you know, if you're on the same page.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I find that a lot of times the house is the biggest issue, because obviously there's only one of them and only one person is going to get it, and or nobody is. And so I think with that being the largest asset to divide, what happens varies so much depending on the circumstances. And in many cases, you know, there's going to be need for an appraisal or a home valuation of some sort for the court to determine what to do with that. Obviously, if one party has the ability to buy one out, they may. If neither party has that ability, though, or even to be able to financially manage the home on their sole income, it is probably going to need to be sold. And, you know, working together on the sale and the listing and the selection of a real estate agent is sometimes more than people want to deal with. And that's one of the services that I provide as an RCSD realtor, to just be able to, you know, kind of come alongside them and help them to navigate that whole decision where, you know, they may or may not, one of them may or may not keep it and or buy something new, but there's a lot that goes into that decision. There's tons of data points that oftentimes sometimes aren't even considered, like, you know, checking the house for liens and maybe doing a pre-divorce inspection to make sure that, you know, the party that's going to keep the house is actually aware of any potential issues that are going to arise, you know, after the divorce is final, that maybe they aren't going to be able to handle on their sole income. So these are big decisions that are being made, and we want to be sure that they're fully informed decisions.
Right. Yeah. And I would just add to that, that, you know, especially in the climate that we're in right now, you know, refinancing sometimes is an option and sometimes it's not. And it's very hard for a spouse to move on when they still have that mortgage sitting on their credit. They're trying to go get into an apartment, and their credit score, because of the debt to credit ratio, is terrible, you know? Mm-hmm. So there are definitely a lot of issues, but I think, you know, like what you can really help with too, that I see all the time, is that it's not that the parties don't want to be reasonable, but they don't trust each other, right? Yeah. So, and it could just be because one person normally did those types of decisions as part of how their marriage worked, right? Mm-hmm. The other one didn't. So, right. You know, having someone like you that can do that is awesome, because it builds trust in the parties. They know, hey, this is a real number. This isn't a pie in the sky number. You know, this is what we need to do. And then again, there's a question of, okay, well, we have all these repairs. Who's going to pay for them? And how are we going to deal with that? So it's really, again, those are things you can simply and easily work out for them, mm-hmm. but they probably can't do on their own because they just don't know what to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can you think of any major issues revolving around that that would come into play specifically because a DIY divorce is the direction that's been chosen?
Well, I would say that, you know, when you have that issue, it's all about valuation, right? And certainly trying to figure out what the terms are going to look like. That's where you're going to have an attorney, right? Because in, at least in Missouri, you have to have your legal description in your judgment. That's the main reason. Mm. But certainly how long a party has to refinance plays into things pretty majorly. Mm-hmm. That would be the only other thing that we didn't really talk about, or you didn't really mention maybe, but certainly knowing all of those things, again, you can have that within your marital settlement agreement. Mm-hmm. I would tell you that what I've been seeing as a trend with real estate that is that people say, hey, we know what we're going to do. And if we're selling this house, we're going to sell it before we file or before you can file. You just can't finish your case. Maybe you can, but you wouldn't have to hire an attorney to do your judgment because there's no longer any real estate. So that, again, is another little thing, little tip, and a lot of things that people have been doing because honestly, they're already separated. They, you know, they don't have any issues. They're just kind of waiting for the house stuff to get done. Mm-hmm. Then there's no surprise on the back end because certainly, you know, if things come up in the inspection, you have to say, how much money is that spouse getting? Mm-hmm. They're getting $30,000. Well, that might be good or it might be bad. If the house sells for more than that, 30 might have not worked out so well for one of those spouses. If there was a bunch of repairs or the house didn't sell for what they thought, then another spouse gets hurt. So the DIYer, I think, is much better off. If they're going to sell, just go ahead and get that done.
Yep. Well, anything else that you can think of that we haven't covered about DIY divorce?
Nope. I think you've really asked some excellent questions. And I think just, I would just encourage people that it's not rocket science. It's definitely something that you can do, and it's not that hard. You just need a little tiny bit of help. But I mean, absolutely. Having a divorce coach on the front end can help you get through those decisions so easily that, again, then maybe that DIY is a much better fit for you because you have someone who's kind of been in your corner. It may be not, maybe not legal advice, but it's just that practical advice that you really needed. That would be really helpful. And certainly you can always have a paid consultation with an attorney too. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. if you just say, hey, we've got this weird thing on this house and we don't know what to do. And, you know, how can we do this easily? You know, an attorney is always all day long. They're going to take a paid consultation with you. So just yeah. those little tiny things, I think you can actually save a whole lot of money. Mm-hmm. And definitely a whole lot of craziness and stress and everything else that goes along with the divorce. Let's get rid yeah. of that if we can, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you again for being here and sharing your thoughts and experiences with us. I hope, listeners, that this has been an informative conversation that's been helpful on your journey today. If you are the DIY type and you want to explore this more, I would be happy to make a personal introduction for you to our guest attorney today, Carrie Sue Doxey. And you can email me at annie@startingoverstronger.com if you would like that. Or if you have any questions, you want to know what a divorce coach is or find out more about how that works, or if you need real estate consultation for your divorce from an RCSD real estate expert in divorce, or if you just want to explore anything that we've talked about here today, you have questions that we didn't get answered for you, I'd be happy to get answers for you on that. So until we meet again, remember, you do not have to do divorce alone, even if you're DIYing it. There is help as you divorce and hope as you are starting over stronger.